Welcome to What Matters in North Carolina. It's a Thursday, and my name is Mark Shiver. Glad to have you listening to the podcast. We're going to talk with Nick Oxner today. He is the excellent investigative reporter with WBTV in Charlotte. Thought it would be appropriate to head down to Charlotte today and find out what's the latest in all of the goings-on between Senator Joel Ford, who has put forth a bill that mirrors the bill that the Republicans put out in the special session in December. If you recall, it repealed House Bill 2. Yes, we're talking about House Bill 2 again. But it also called for what's called referred to as a cooling off period, where local municipalities could not pass non-discrimination ordinances for a period of time. Senator Ford has kind of resurrected that notion. Let's repeal House Bill 2 and call for a cooling off period, I believe that until the end of the session. And so he introduced that bill this week. And if you were following social media, particularly Twitter yesterday, it was quite entertaining. He initially said that Governor Cooper was okay with the idea, down with it, so to speak. And I'm really too old to be saying down with it. But anyway, that Governor Cooper was okay with the bill. And then something changed because he later said that he feels like the folks from Equality NC got in Governor Cooper's ear, and that now Governor Cooper is expressing ambivalence towards the bill. And there was a great back and forth on social media yesterday involving Senator Ford, who, by the way, wants to be the mayor of Charlotte and Equality NC. And so it was a good time to make some popcorn and watch all that and be highly entertained. But anyway, we'll talk to Nick Oxner about that. And where does the effort to repeal House Bill 2 stand? As you know, there are those on the left who would love to just repeal it, and the safety and privacy of women and little girls notwithstanding. And there are those on the right who say the safety and privacy of women and little girls is priority one. And so where do we stand? We'll talk to Nick about that. Oh, and by the way, there's rumors that there could be a Religious Freedom Restoration Act floating around the General Assembly. We'll ask Nick about that and also find out about Jacob's new dress. And I'll just leave that right there. Without any further ado, let's talk with Nick Oxner here on What Matters in North Carolina. It's always a pleasure when we get a chance to talk with Nick Oxner. He is the excellent investigative reporter for WBTV in Charlotte. And Nick, welcome back.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing very well. And I have seen, just by taking a quick glance at social media, you've been a little busy.
Busier than I'd like.
Well,
I tried to have vacation Monday and Tuesday and ended up working.
Well, you know you can't do that during the long session, Nick. Goodness. So yesterday, I cooked some popcorn and popped open a soda and had quite a time just watching my Twitter feed. It was very entertaining.
I know you're a hockey fan. You feel like you're at a Canes game?
Yeah, I did, actually. It was kind of quick action, nonstop, back and forth, like watching the puck go up and down the ice. But seriously,
we did body checks, too.
Well, there was that. And so for those of our listeners that may not have enjoyed the scrum on Twitter yesterday, so to speak, between Senator Joel Ford, who wants to be mayor of Charlotte, Joel Ford, and the folks from Equality NC and all that, kind of give us the rundown on what was going on.
Yeah, so Joel Ford introduced legislation. I forgot what day it is. Today's Thursday. So he introduced legislation on Tuesday, that another bill that would repeal HB 2, and his bill would both repeal HB 2 and then it would institute a 30-day moratorium on any new local non-discrimination ordinances for 30 days after the end of this year's session. That provision, the bill generally mirrors what Republicans put forth in December and what then-Governor-elect Roy Cooper asked Democrats in the Senate to oppose, and so that proposal fizzled. since then, I think you've seen a lot of Democrats privately say, boy, we should have taken that deal in December. And so Joel Ford and six other Democrats in the state Senate and one Republican, Tamara Berenger, co-sponsored this bill. Joel Ford was the author of it. So we reported first yesterday morning that Governor Cooper called Senator Ford and expressed his support for the bill. And I got a tip about it. We were able to kind of track it down a little bit more. We initially called the governor's office, and they didn't call back by the time we told them we were going to report it. And then they called back a couple minutes later and gave us a statement that didn't push back on our reporting that Cooper expressed his support for the bill. It didn't really say much of anything, but it didn't say that we were wrong. And then a couple hours later, the governor's office came out with another statement that clarified his position on the bill. And essentially it said, I called Joel Ford. I said I'm for finding a compromise, but I'm not really for this moratorium, as he put it.
Oops.
And so that was like early afternoon. So about 3:30, 3:45 or so comes around, and Senator Ford's campaign, his mayoral campaign, issues a statement. I mean, it really caught me off guard just in how bold it was. But came out and accused Governor Cooper, the leader of his own party, of moving the goalposts on HB2, and really basically the statement in sum accused him of standing in the way of getting a deal done to repeal HB2, which are some pretty major accusations.
Yeah, that is kind of throwing a little bit of gas on the fire, as it were. So what was Equality NC doing during all this?
Well, that's anyone's guess, right? So in his statement, Senator Ford said that, well, accused Roy Cooper of changing his position on the Ford bill after talking with Equality NC. Equality NC and the governor's office, well, the governor's staff, have denied that Equality NC and Governor Cooper talked to each other about the bill. So hard to say.
Well, don't leave us hanging there, Nick. What's going on now?
So it's interesting, right? I mean, this bill still exists. It was referred to the Rules Committee, where things go to either die or change or move quickly. This one may just sit there for a while. But it does have that one Republican co-sponsor on the bill. And, you know, for about an hour or two yesterday, it looked like this might could be a thing that could get some legs. I don't know if it will or not. But it certainly did drum up some drama.
Yes, it did. Now, the folks over at the governor's office, again, just to kind of recap, the initial feeling that we all got from Governor Cooper's office was that he was going to lend his support to Senator Ford for this bill. And then, as you said, there was kind of a cooling off, note the pun there, cooling off of his position. And Senator Ford is accusing Equality NC of having influenced Governor Cooper in that regard. Now, I don't know if there is any truth to that, but I did love it when Equality NC said that something to the effect of that Senator Ford doesn't mind throwing LGBT folks under the bus. That was pretty harsh.
Well, of course, we know there's really no love lost between Joel Ford and Equality NC. I think there was recently an exchange of Twitter emojis that may have gotten Joel Ford into a little bit of trouble.
Right.
And as I understand it, Senator Ford has met with some folks from Equality NC, and they've tried to mend some fences, so to speak. But, you know, we saw this flare up again yesterday afternoon. So hard to say if they'll ever be on good footing.
Yeah, well, that's true. But what makes it interesting, now, you there in Charlotte, Nick, he wants to be mayor, and
seems like everyone in Charlotte wants to be mayor these days.
Well, if I lived there, I'd be running too, Nick. But, you know, today being the first anniversary of HB2, I'm just wondering, in terms of politically, is Senator Ford hurting himself or helping himself On two fronts. Number one, do you think filing this bill was helpful? And then number two, do you think he's hurting himself with this back and forth that he's having with Equality NC?
I don't know if he's hurting himself or not. Obviously, I would say, and I'll take a pass on offering up a real judgment on that. That being said, I think that he thinks he's doing himself a favor by taking this position. I think you could say that he's differentiating himself from the mayor, who, you know, has been a strong ally for Equality NC and some of those special interest groups. So, and I think she would be, you know, she would proudly say that. So I think you're kind of seeing some lines drawn in the sand, because, of course, Joel Ford is in a primary against Jennifer Roberts, who's running to be mayor again. And you also have Mayor Pro Tem Bi Lyles in the Democratic primary. So it's going to be a pretty nasty, bruising battle between those three. And then, of course, you have Republican Kenny Smith, who's running for mayor as well. So, you know, I think one thing's for sure, Joel Ford has set himself apart from, or, you know, he's ginned up the headlines.
Yeah, exactly. So
that saying, all press is good press?
Yeah, maybe not, right? In some cases, anyway. So our guest is Nick Oxner, of course, with WBTV in Charlotte. And what I want to get a sense from it, and maybe you can't really give me what I'm looking for here, Nick, but I'm going to ask this anyway. Is the mayor just kind of, you know, sitting beside me on the couch with the popcorn watching Senator Ford and Equality NC kind of go back and forth? And or is she weighed in at all into this? Did she comment at all about Senator Ford's bill? Because I haven't seen anything.
No, I don't believe she has. And to be fair, I'm not sure that anyone has asked her. I haven't asked her. I thought about it yesterday, and then I ran out of time. But no, to my knowledge, no one's asked her to weigh in. You know, I think Jennifer Roberts is busy being mayor and running Jennifer Roberts' campaign. And I think, you know, we know that she's busy raising money. She's going to be in Raleigh for a fundraiser tonight, hosted by, among other people, Ken Udy, one of Roy Cooper's top advisors in the governor's office.
Right. Well, so what is the latest now, as I understand it, Nick, is that there's talk of putting a religious freedom amendment on this bill. And I'm sorry I paused there. I wanted to make sure I got that correct. And of course, Chris Segro of Equality NC said this would be a disaster for North Carolina, and adding a religious freedom rights or restoration amendment or act, whatever they refer to it as. We've seen this in Indiana and elsewhere. And my initial thought to that was, boy, just smack a, you know, the whole people of faith demographic right in the face with that. But nevertheless, we know that in the last session, this idea was floated, and Speaker Moore basically said there wasn't support at that time for doing a full-fledged Religious Freedom Act here in North Carolina. From your sense, do you think that there's more momentum for that now, or is this still a non-starter?
I would hesitate to believe the details of the legislation that we've seen tweeted out so far.
Okay.
Of course, I'm referring to House Minority Leader, Democrat Leader Darren Jackson,
right,
tweeting out a bill that he claimed was what was being written by the Speaker's office that included the RFRA provision. I've not been able to verify that what he tweeted out was accurate. In fact, I've been told by sources who are Republicans, who might have a better idea of what's happening in the Republican caucus, that, you know, that is probably not accurate. So I don't know.
Yeah.
That being said, I get the sense that there is something moving, something else moving. We'll have to see what that is, what that looks like. You know, the Speaker hinted that there might be a rare Friday session, which is a big deal because, you know, lawmakers don't want to spend any time, more time in Raleigh than they have to. I try not to spend any time in Raleigh.
Well, they certainly don't want to be here on Thursday afternoon or Friday. We know that.
That's right.
So, well, I think that this is all very interesting. And what is kind of, in my mind, Nick, underneath all of this is that there are still a lot of conservatives who have said and will continue to say, look, Senator Berger, look, Speaker Moore, we have had your back on this, so to speak. We have gone to the wall, gone to the mat, whatever, repeatedly in our support of what you did, as they would say, to protect the privacy of women and little girls in showers and bathrooms, locker rooms, etc. And I really believe that any move to repeal that could be, you know, tenuous as far as those conservatives who have supported the General Assembly on this issue for such a long time. I think, I guess, I want to get your opinion on this. Any kind of repeal is not only going to have to appease the left, but it's also, I think, going to have to appease the right. Do you agree with that?
Well, and that's the problem if you're Tim Moore and Phil Berger, right? And thank God that we're neither of those men, because I wouldn't want to be in their shoes.
Exactly.
Is that you have to have something that appeases enough Democrats to pass it, because you aren't going to get all of your caucus.
Right.
You know, you're just not, kind of to the points that you brought up. And so I think that there are privately many Republicans who acknowledge, boy, we didn't think that the outfall that we've seen from HB2, we didn't expect it to be like that.
Right.
You know, that's what happens when you pass bills in 12 hours. I think we can all agree that that's not a best practice, regardless of who's in office. Wow. And so the question, the thing that everyone struggled with is, how do we do this in a way that lives up to what our constituents want, that lives up to our beliefs, that lives up to what we've said previously? And I think that finding that answer for everyone has been very difficult. I think it continues to be difficult when you think you're signing over. How many times now have we seen where we thought we had a deal, and then the deal's been blown up, and, you know, and now since every side is accusing each other of moving the goalposts, I mean, I don't know who's doing the moving, but the goalposts are clearly on legs, right?
Well, yes, you're correct about that. And so I didn't mean for this to be all HB2 all the time. I would like
Look, I didn't mean for my life to be all HB2 all the time, but that's pretty much how the last year's felt.
Well, happy anniversary to you too, Nick. It's a good day to pause and reflect. But moving on to another issue that sort of Charlotte-driven, the bit of fallout over a book called Jacob's New Dress that the Charlotte-Mecklenburg School District was going to plan to use to teach anti-bullying to first graders. And some parents felt like this was inappropriate, particularly at that age. And
Teachers were the first ones who thought it was inappropriate and sent a letter to the General Assembly, which I think is pretty striking. How often do we hear that a teacher is really reaching out to members of the General Assembly to blow the whistle?
Yeah, exactly. So where do we stand on this now? I think they've pulled back on that plan. And
That's correct. And this is what had me working on my attempt at a vacation on Monday or Tuesday, is that, you know, so we had this book. Members of the General Assembly found out about this book, Jacob's Dress. A teacher said, look, we're teaching this to first graders. Parents don't know about it. I'm not sure that it's age level appropriate. I'm not sure that we should be teaching it without parental consent. And come to find out, the school board didn't even know about it. And this is something that the Charlotte superintendent had adopted without telling anybody, as part of this anti-bullying program that people were aware of, but no one had said, hey, we're going to teach, you know, specifically a book about a boy who wants to be a girl. So me and my colleague Dedrick Russell at WBTV, our education reporter, Dedrick's been doing the lion's share of our reporting on this. But, you know, so he spoke to the school board chairman, was like, yeah, we didn't hear about this, and that's a problem. And then yesterday, Dedrick did a story where, you know, people are now considering what action, if any, to take against outgoing superintendent Ann Clark, who, you know, they've hired her replacement. She's on her way out, but she's still the superintendent. She's still the one responsible for this decision. And so now board members are considering, you know, taking some sort of possible disciplinary action against Ann Clark. I saw Cedric raise the question yesterday. Someone asked about do we still have to pay for all these books that we ordered that we're not going to use now? and so I think there will I think we're not done. We're not done with this.
Well, that's a shame.
Job security for somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess this would be more of a policy type of question, and I don't know that you want to get into all that, but this just strikes me as odd. I really wonder where this stuff comes from, because somebody, you know, maybe by themselves or with their friends or colleagues were sitting in a conference room going, yeah, Jacob's new dress for six-year-olds. Let's do it. And I just don't understand how that whole process works. But
look, I am, if I wanted to be an education policy person, which I don't, you know, I would be able to answer that for you. But luckily, I'm just the investigative reporter at WBTV.
All right. So in that regard, real quick, Nick, let's I'm just going to rifle through these. Any updates on the plane usage by the governor, former governor?
No, we continue to have a lawsuit ongoing, and that's been, it was stayed while Governor Cooper's people got into office and figured out, you know, where the closets and the drawers were. We're waiting on some court action, but I think we're still a month or so away before we hear anything new on that. Stay tuned.
And there were also requests for public records that you were waiting on. Any movement on that?
Well, that's my entire life.
So I would take that as a no, or?
That's great. Nothing substantive.
Okay. And
nothing substantive.
Boy, I'll bet you're a real hit in the bars, you know. Hi, I'm Nick, and I'm waiting on public records.
Oh, my wife tells me how boring I am all the time.
Exactly. And finally, Nick, what are you working on that our listeners should be paying attention to WBTV on, other than Jacob's new dress and House Bill 2?
We do have a crazy story coming out next. Well, we have one story coming up today. It's more Charlotte-centric, but it's focusing on the continued problem of school bus maintenance in Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools and safety of Charlotte-Mecklenburg schools. They have a mechanic shortage that we first reported on the same day that the riots broke out, so no one saw that story.
Mm.
But we've continued to ask questions about what school leaders in Charlotte are doing to keep their school buses safe, and we've continued to find some questions about that. We have that coming up tonight. Next Thursday, we have a crazy story about a veteran who was a boxer. That was his job in the Army in the 70s. He was a boxer, was a alternate to the 1976 Olympic team in boxing, and now suffering from head injuries similar to what football players have suffered from, you know,
wow,
taking trauma to the head over and over again. And it has, he's been trying for more than 7 years to get disability benefits from the VA and still has been unsuccessful. So we're doing that story next week.
Wow. So that's an interesting job. I don't know how you get that, but
I asked him that. He basically said I was really fit and really good at athletics, and people like coming to watch me box, and he taught kids karate on military bases around the world, and yeah, it seemed like it was a cool job. So he has like no real short-term memory, but he has great long-term memory, and his eyes really lit up talking about it.
Wow. Well, we'll look forward to that as always. And I guess that's it for now, Nick, but there's so much going on at the General Assembly that we want to talk to you back. So we'll talk to you about. So we'll look forward to getting together again with you very soon. Thank you so much, Nick Oxner of WBTV. Nick Oxner is really, really one of the busiest people in the state in media, does an excellent job, and you can pretty much count on Nick to be right there in the middle of stuff if it's breaking news. He really has some good sources and does an excellent job. We appreciate him taking time out with us here to get us caught up on things from his perspective on what matters in North Carolina. And always does a good job, so thank you, Nick Oxner. And we want to remind you that social media, we've talked some about that with Nick, and you can find us there on Twitter at What Matters NC and on Facebook, facebook.com/What Matters WNC. Thank you so much for listening to the program. We've got some great shows coming up, so stay tuned. You don't want to miss a minute of what matters in North Carolina.